Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And it is John Gibbons with a weekly little look behind the curtain, a tour at things that we're doing and things that we've got going out and a little bit on process. I'm going to say weekly. I started it 2 weeks ago and then forgot last week. So that is a good start. But weekly from now, I did say it wouldn't be every week. And I proved that week two.
Bi-weekly. It's bi-weekly.
Maybe it is. That other voice you can hear with me is Adam Smith. And he's joining me because I want to talk about... a show we've got later out today. It's a very exciting show. It's a What Football Means to Me, and it's with a very special guest. But first of all, let's talk about What Football Means to Me, Adam, because you've done, I would say, it's double figures of these shows now. It's wildly popular, much more popular than you.
Significantly so.
You must be pleased with how it's gone, the people you've had on, and, yeah, the reception it has received from Anfield Rap listeners.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, because so just I suppose, as you say, pulling back the curtain a little bit, it was an idea many, many moons ago after I'd heard the Dan Morgan show on something, but it was like a special
social
thing.
Media, wasn't it?
Yes,
and it was sort of, you know, is social media good?
Yes, and it was like a special, like, documentary style episode. And I went to Lizzie, ever keen to improve my own ability to speak about stuff and just do more work. I spoke to Lizzie Doyle when she, you know, before she abandoned the Anfield Rap.
Because she produced the social media thing.
Yes, so she produced it. And I said to her, look, I've got a bit of an idea about, you know, that basically speaking to people whose relationship with football has changed, because it came off the back of my getting diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and just sort of feeling like things were just very different for me in terms of football. I couldn't enjoy football in the same way because I literally couldn't see what was going on properly because I had really bad double vision and things like that. So I was like, I sort of thought I can't be the only person. And Lizzie being the brilliant producer mind that she is, sort of said, yeah, it'd be great to speak to maybe one person that stopped for financial reasons and one person that stopped for emotional reasons and one, you know, like the wheel started spinning. And then lockdown happened, I think. So I think that kind of put a pin in everything, really. But she spoke to you, if I remember correctly. So you know, you can kind of take over the chronology from here, I guess. But she spoke to you and you said, oh, it might work as a one-off show as a weekly show, monthly show rather than a one-off thing. Is that kind of right?
Yeah. I don't know whether this was me just trying to create more content for the Anfield Rap. I was like, why make one podcast where we can make 12? Might have been what it was. But I think, I mean, on the, you know, like you and Lizzie had discussed, it's this idea that people will have sorts of different stories, if you like. And if we, I think my concern was if we sort of shoehorn it into one, then, you know, the full sort of scope of people's ideas. So ideas of you know, their life journey. So I think where you and Lizzie were coming from was sort of more like a recent event that had made or a fairly recent event that had made you sort of change how you viewed about football. And then I said, well, why don't we talk about, you know, get each individual and talk about, you know, their life and this was sort of where what football means to me came from. The idea that being not just what football means to me, but how has what football means to you changed, you know, as we all change across our lives. I mean, hopefully we all do. so that was it. So it was, you know, I guess a team effort to get where we were, but very much your sort of brainchild and your idea and something that you want to do. And I think the thing that makes it so good is that you are genuinely interested in people. And not just Hollywood stars that we're going to talk about in a minute. And I don't know. It's a funny thing to say to people sometimes. I don't think it's something that people who are interested in people necessarily know about themselves, because it's like, well, why wouldn't you be? But some people just aren't. Whereas you, I think, are. And I think that makes the show really. And because you're very warm and because, you know, you've got a trusting voice, I think people sort of do open up to you, and wrongly, in my opinion. And you get really good stuff.
Totally agree. I shouldn't be trusted at all. I would sell any. I'd sell state secrets for a bottle of vodka. No problem at all. Look, I think that the thing that I've really enjoyed about doing the show so far is the extent to which people kind of maybe don't realize how football has changed for them over the years. Like Rob Gutman was, I think, the first one I did. And it was really good because he basically was like, no, my everything's been exactly the same all the way through my life. From the moment I got into football, it's been go, go, go. But it was really clear that especially around his kids, his sort of thoughts of an approach to football had changed because they came along. And so he kind of got a renewed sense of what it meant to him to like football and watch football. And that kind of dawned on him as we were chatting, which was really nice. But the shows, and look, they're great because the guests are great. That's what it's about. I don't do any, all I do is ask people questions, you know, and I think I try to respond to what they've said rather than kind of have a set list of questions. So I remember when we did the live show with you, where I was speaking to you, people were saying to me beforehand, oh, have you got your questions ready? And I was like, no, I'm just going to ask John what's going on and then respond to what he says. Because if I go in and say, okay, these are the 10 questions I'm going to ask, and you don't have a story for any of those questions or whatever, then the show doesn't work. I think it works because the guests are so good at explaining kind of what's happened to them, I think.
It's always good when a creative decision is also one that means less work. It's the perfect combination. Okay, so you have done a number of tour contributors, people sort of connected with the Anfield Wrap, and I've enjoyed them all. But one I'm very excited about, which is out later today, is with Hollywood star Will Arnett. So first of all, Adam, who is Will Arnett, and why did you want him to be on your show?
So I think the first thing I want to say, John, is I think it's Will Arnett.
Okay.
I think so. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
I never interviewed him.
To be fair, I didn't say his full name. I don't I don't tend to do that very much. So he does a podcast called Smartless, which he does with Jason Bateman, that people will know from Ozark, Sean Hayes, who people might know from Will and Grace. So they do a podcast where basically the premise of the podcast is that one of them invites on a guest that the other two don't know who the guest is going to be. And then they interview them essentially over the course of an hour. And it's a great podcast. They've spoken to some really interesting people, and it's really good to you know, you do learn some stuff. There are times when it's basically just them chatting to their mates, which obviously, from the Anfield Wrap, got no problem with that. That's a really good approach to things. And that's what it is. They're having a chat with their mates. But even in that, they learn stuff about their friends and things. Like the show I was listening to most recently was Rob, I think it's pronounced McKelney. He's the guy who bought Wrexham with Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. And Rob's mum is gay, and so they were talking with Sean, who's also gay, and there was just sort of a conversation around all that. And Will said, like, I've never really asked you about this, Sean, about being gay and growing up in a Catholic family. And they're like best friends. They've been friends for years. But it comes through in the show that, you know, they learn about each other along the way, as well as take the piss out of each other and all that sort of stuff. So it's a really good show. And in it, he mentioned that he is a Liverpool fan in one of the episodes I was listening to. And I was like, that's like, how's that happened?
Yeah.
Like, how has he become a Liverpool supporter? So I thought, you know, that would be that would be a really interesting what football means to me, because he's somebody that grew up in Canada, has moved to America to, you know, kind of, as you say, to be a Hollywood star and all of those kind of things. So what was the journey to become a Liverpool fan? Because I think the shows, when they're at their best, are people who have got a genuinely interesting story to tell. So when I recorded the one with Damien Kavanagh, I was just like, I was so just blown away by him as a person, as I think everybody is. And I he was just so forthright and honest, and it was so moving to me. I was really moved by it. And I was, you know, if I'm allowed to blow my own trumpet for a moment, I was really proud, because at one point he said, oh, I've never been asked that question before. And I thought, you know, and I was like, well, that's great. Like the number of times that Damien has spoken as a Hillsborough survivor and everything else, and he's not been asked a certain question. I was really like pleased with that, and I finished it and I was like, I honestly think that's award winning. I was like, that was such a good show, because he was so brilliant. That's going to be great. And I got a few texts of people saying, you know, well done, really enjoyed it, all that sort of thing, but nothing compared to the reaction that I got when I did the Steve Armstrong show. Like, I was having so many people saying to me how brilliant they thought it was and how great it was. And of course, he's just such a good raconteur and all the rest of it. And his story's really interesting, isn't it? But the whole thing is, it's for me, it's about what the journey is for people in their own way. And the reason Damien's sort of relationship with football changed is obviously incredibly different to why Steve's has changed. But they both had their own kind of version. And I thought, well, that, like, Will Arnett's is a really interesting story, that he's gone from basically never, like, not being a Liverpool supporter at all, not really being a football fan at all. Like, as he says on the show, he likes ice hockey and, you know, all those sort of sports far more, to being, you know, actually, like, considers himself a Liverpool supporter, watches the, you know, gets up at 4 a.m. to watch the matches and all those sorts of things. Like, that's really interesting to me, why that happened and how it came about. So I was like, let's just see if he'll see if he fancies having a chat.
And he did.
He did.
Which was nice. Again, yeah. The best decisions are the ones that are most creative and involve the least amount of work. I wouldn't say you toiled for months over this booking, Adam.
Absolutely not.
You sent him a tweet saying, how do we make this happen? And then did.
That it happened, yeah. So I'd listened to a show where he'd said that he really believes in kind of the power of positive thinking and the idea of, you know, putting things out into the universe. So I just put a tweet out saying, I'm just going to put it out into the universe that I'd like to speak to Will Arnett on what football means to me. And then, you know, loads of people that kind of follow us both, I guess, were tweeting and saying, oh yeah, that'd be great. Like, that'd be a brilliant show to do, et cetera, et cetera. And he messaged something like, what's your plan here? Or something like that to me. And I was like, I just thought I'd ask if he fancied doing the show and see what happened. How's it working? And he was like, yeah, it's working all right. So he followed me back on Twitter. I DM'd him and I was like, look, do you fancy it? Basically, this is the premise of the show. And he said, yeah, you know, I'll put you in touch with my executive assistant. He actually said my EA, and I had to Google what it meant, but executive assistant. He said, I'll put you in touch with them and they can, you know, figure out the dates. And they, you know, I got an email off Will's executive assistant, Liz, saying, you know, how soon do you want to do it? When do you want to do it? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, look, we'll fit everything around him and his timings and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the sooner we could do it, the better, I guess. Mainly because I don't want him to change his mind.
Yeah. Strike while the iron's hot.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And you know, because he said, I think he says in the show, or it might have been before or after, we started recording, I can't remember, but he says that he normally says no to people who say, do you want to do my podcast? But for some reason he decided to say yes on this. So it's like, let's just get it in the can, get it recorded. And then he can't change his mind. I mean, he could change his mind technically, I guess, but you know, we've got it locked, and we'll see where it goes from there. And he was really generous with his time and his stories and everything else, which was lovely. And yeah, so yeah, as you say, I did not toil for months to try to get him, on board.
So how was it? How was he? How was the whole thing?
Great. Really good. Yeah, really, like, genuinely really good. So I'm going to tell you a story now, John, that I don't want to tell for reasons that will become clear.
Best source.
But before we started recording, I said to him that we'd nearly met, like, nearly 10 years before, because I did was in a show called The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret, which he filmed with David Cross. And I said, but, you know, actually my scene was with David Cross, not with you. So, you know, I was like, I don't even know if you were in London at the time or what, because it was filmed in London. I said, you know, so we could have met around then. And then in the show, he says something along the lines of, you know, and of course, Adam, you were in Todd Margaret, but although sadly your scene wasn't with me, it was with David Cross. So we never really met, our paths nearly crossed, but didn't. Like as if he'd remembered, like he didn't say, as you told me earlier. Do you know what I mean? He said it like as if he'd remembered.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and I was like, oh, that's lovely. Like people listening will be like, oh my God, he remembers Adam being in that show or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is why I didn't really want to tell.
Like you've got the same agent or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't really want to tell that story to kind of ruin the fact that actually he didn't remember I'd told him 10 minutes before. Although if you Google The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret on the Google thing, you know, where it gives you like the list of episodes, mm-hmm. it's the still of me is used for the episode that I'm in. I think it was episode 4 of season 1. And it's the still of me. Totally, there's no reason whatsoever why it is the case, because it's not a big part of the story that happens or whatever, but it's the still of me. I think, unless that's just cookies and it'd be a still of anybody who Googles it. I don't know, but I think it is a still of me that's there, which is really nice. But yeah, so he was just really generous with his time and with his, you know, with everything really in terms of what, you know, what he gave to us. He was it really, you know, really good fun to chat to. It was nice beforehand, nice afterwards. Yeah, really good.
Absolutely great. Well done on securing such an exciting booking. Nice one for doing it. I'm really looking forward to listening. I'm not listening yet. I'm gonna be like a punter and just go when it goes live. Press play. I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy it. We're going to play a clip from it now. I asked you which bit you thought we should do, and you went for something around Istanbul.
Yeah, so I asked, because I was interested to know, obviously, you know, some people, when they start following football, that's the point at which they get into football, if you know what I mean. And like, yeah, it's from then on they like it. Whereas others kind of get into it and are like, right, so, okay, so now I'm going to find out about the history of stuff. So I asked him if he kind of went back and has kind of looked back at Liverpool's history, and I just sort of picked Istanbul because obviously it's just really famous, and I didn't want to say, like, you know, did you see Kenny's goal in the European Cup final or whatever. I was like, you know, like a big one. And he as you'll hear now, he said that yes, he has indeed gone back and listened to, like, got into it all, and feels the emotion of what, like, felt the emotion of watching the match when he saw it all and stuff, which is lovely.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to play that clip now. I hope you enjoy it. If you do, obviously the full thing is available to listen to for subscribers later on today. And so if you like the little snippet and you want to subscribe to the Anfield app, then obviously we would love to have you on board. If you're not quite sure yet, if you download the app, you can get tokens, get free tokens so that you can use on this as well to give it a little bit of a teaser. But hopefully this encourages you to come on board. But Adam, thanks again. And yeah, are you looking forward to all the acclaim, or do you think everyone will like the Steve Armstrong one more?
It'll still be Steve Armstrong, I think. Yeah, but I think it was really. It's just so funny because the Steve Armstrong one, I thought it was great. Don't get me wrong, I thought it was really good. But I honestly finished that David one and was like, I mean, we should be putting this forward for awards. That was just the best thing I've ever done. It was amazing. Blah blah blah. And yeah, I felt. Like the Damien one was the best thing I'd ever been involved in, and I was basically not really a part of it. I was just asking questions that popped into my head. it was all Damien, but that was what I felt. And the Steve Armstrong one, I thought was really strong, really good, but you know, I was like, it's not winning any awards. And as it happens, neither of them have. So, but yeah, obviously the big question, John, isn't it? Who's next? Who can I tweet next randomly to get them to do the show? Name a celebrity. Let's see if we can get them on board.
Well, listen to the show, tweet adoration to Adam, and then suggest who you think should get next. But we've waffled on long enough. Here's the clue.
So you've started to follow Liverpool then, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, did you sort of at that point, or at any point, I guess, since, have you kind of gone back and looked at, you know, the Liverpool of the past? Have you kind of caught up on the history? Like, have you watched Istanbul and all those sorts of things?
Oh, yeah.
Have you done all that and invested yourself in the folklore, I guess, of the club?
It's almost like I've gone back. It's almost like I'm rewriting my own history in the sense that, like, where was I when? Like, Istanbul, I now, like, I can't tell if I remember it as a new memory or if I remember it from the time.
Right.
Because I've gone back and looked at it. And yeah, of course, sure. That's one of the glories of the internet is that you get to do that and go and find all these moments. And, you know, Liverpool, the club will put out all these videos of, like, you know, this summer they did that thing on social media, like their top 50 goals of all time.
Yes. Yeah.
So I go and I watch those and I'm like, half these players I've never heard of before because they're from an era that I wasn't a fan of, or in that time. And now I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. Like if someone, I'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that goal. Yeah, it was crazy. That was great. That was against Middlesbrough in the FA semifinal. And then I'm like, no, I don't remember. It's a new memory.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Istanbul for me is like this great, incredible moment, right?
Yeah.
That I've only recently, you know, acquired.
Yeah, sure. I get that completely. And it's so funny how I watched it live. I remember exactly where I was. I was in a pub in Birmingham when I was at drama school. I was there. I was doing all that. I know who I was with. I know what happened with the penalties. I know what happened at half time when we were 3-0 down. And I went and spoke to my dad outside. Like, you know, I like all of that. I remember really, really clearly.
What was the conversation with your dad?
Oh, I think I just went, this is fucking awful. And I think my dad was like, my dad is such a contradictory person because I remember at the time he was like, look, you never know, 45 minutes of football, they've scored three. Why can't we score three? If we'd have been 3-0 up and I phoned my dad, he'd have been saying, well, they didn't score three, you know, like he'd have been Mr. Negative if I'd have phoned him in that instance. But then I remember he was quite positive. So yeah, it was that. And I remember phoning him, after the full-time whistle, and he was in the local pub, and one of his friends who's an Evertonian who had been living it up in the first half had gone home once we'd scored the equaliser. He was like, I know what's happening here, so I'm out of it. He disappeared straight off. Spoke to him. So I have all of these memories really clearly, but equally, every single year when somebody puts the highlights up, I'll sit and watch them. You know, I'll relive it in that way because that is what sport does, isn't it? You know, and I guess even watching it back, having not watched it at the time, it's kind of even more thrilling because you know the first time you watched it, especially, would have been like, I don't know what's happening, what's going on. It's like a TV show that you've never watched before, isn't it?
Yeah, you almost can't process it. You don't understand it. And I think that watching it again, like you said, it's such an emotional connection, and you're connecting to a time in your life, and you're connecting. You remember the conversation with your dad. There's so much there. And it was a great time, and you remember who you were with and blah, 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 and feeling great. And we all want that, right? I mean, ultimately, on a higher level, to reconnect with those times that made us feel good about stuff. And that's one of the great things about sport, that it can do that. And I don't know. I go back and I watch that, and I feel good about a time that I didn't even have at the time, but I can still somehow connect with something and seeing other people and seeing other people's reaction to it. Like, I've seen a few things where they've done interviews with people talking about how they felt at the time, and then I've watched that documentary they did on Steven Gerrard and watching him, and like, I don't know, I can kind of make those a little bit. I can kind of sit on the sidelines and absorb some of that juice.
Yeah, sure.
Which is great, you know. Again, like, sport has this incredible I'll tell you something. You can also learn. We know you learn from the losses too, right?
Yeah.
You remember that? I coached Little League baseball here in America for a number of years with my sons, and I remember when my eldest son was about 9, and we won our sort of small like league championship out in California, and we knew a bunch of the kids on the other team that we played against in the championship, and I knew their parents and whatever, and seeing these kids, and they were crying and they were so upset, and our kids were going crazy. They had just won. And I remember saying to one of the parents of the losing kids, I just sort of saying, oh God, I feel so bad for your kids. But at the same time, weirdly, this is such a weird reaction. I was like, weirdly, they're learning a great lesson that my kids are not getting right now.
Yeah, yeah.
My kids are getting a false sense of like, you'd think that it would be like, no, they're learning how to win. It's like, I don't know. Are they? There's also something to be said for the pain and understanding what that is and what it means, like we were talking about before, to get up, dust off, and go again.
Sports Social Podcast Network.